We do thank you for the opportunity to be here and look at your word together. Help us to be people that do not love the world nor the things of the world. Help us to be people that love you and make it our priority to worship you and to obey you no matter what the world is doing. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, this is actually 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, we saw John writing to three different groups of people, three different groups of Christians. There were children, he called them, young men, and fathers. We saw him addressing these three groups, highlighting the maturity level of each group as he did so. He said, I am writing to you children because you know the Father. I am writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. You are strong and the word of God abides in you. I am writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. John is writing to these individuals, these children of God, these little children of God as he called them, the little bairns as they're known in Scottish circles. He's writing to these born-again believers to remind them of the fact that their sins had been forgiven. He now moves on in verses 15 to 17 of 1 John chapter 2 to give specific instructions as to how these individuals, regardless of whether they're children, young men, or fathers, should live as God's children. Now, you and I recognize that we live on planet Earth. I think most people recognize that. We live on a planet that is beautiful. We live on a planet that is rich in natural resources and is able to sustain life for billions of people all over the world. We live in this world and we rub shoulders with all kinds of individuals, all kinds of people, many of whom embrace philosophies, religions, opinions, and worldviews that are totally different and significantly different than what we hold. As we look at John's words to us in verse 15, we read that we are to, quote, not love the world nor the things in the world. Now, as you look at that, you may wonder, well, what exactly is he saying? What is he trying to tell us? Are we not to care about the planet? Is that what John's saying, that we are to not care about the planet and the resources and the environment? Are we to use the planet's resources in an irresponsible way? Are we not to care about pollution and the destruction of our natural habitat, etc.? And I do recognize that loving Mother Earth has become somewhat of a fetish in these days. We can't seem to get our president to approve of a pipeline that would bring thousands of jobs to Americans because, I believe, of an overemphasis on alleged environmental concerns at the expense of energy production and job creation. Certainly, we should care about the planet. And we should use its resources wisely and support efforts to cut down on pollution. However, that is not what John is talking about here. The world being talked about here is not the physical world that we live in. We should care about that as long as we don't get carried away and start loving the creation rather than the Creator himself. Now, the second question that could be raised in regards or in response to John's instructions here in verse 15 is this. Are we not to care about people? I mean, aren't we supposed to love other people? Are we not to love the world of humanity, the world of individuals? And as we look at the Bible, we certainly see a God who has chosen to love people. He became a human being, Jesus Christ, so that he could die on the cross for other human beings. God, in his common grace, has certainly also made provision for people to eat, work, and to get some kind of enjoyment out of life to one degree or another. Matthew chapter 4, verse 45, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. However, as you and I look at verse 15, it does appear that the word world in this particular sense does not refer to the world of men or humanity. That being the case, what does the word world mean? What is this world that we're not supposed to love? It does appear, having ruled out two other possibilities, that would be the physical planet or the world of human beings, that John is actually referring to the world system, the cosmos, a worldview or philosophies or mindsets or ways of life or lifestyles or ideologies or belief systems, etc., etc., that are opposed to God and his world and his word. We are talking, as I said, about the cosmos, that evil world system controlled and dominated by Satan. So when it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world, here in verse 15, we're talking about the world system. I'd like you to turn with me, and this is not too far away, to 1 John chapter 4. And let me read to you verses 1 to 4. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So we're looking again at a world system that is run and dominated by Satan. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, verse 19, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Well, who's that referring to? Referring to Satan, obviously. So that we are dealing with a world system that is dominated and controlled and energized by Satan. Now I'd like you to go back with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. I want to read to you verses 18 to 19. I think this is a significant passage. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Ever wonder why you don't feel like you fit in sometimes? You ever wonder why Christians are seemingly marked out for persecution in a lot of different areas, including even in this country from time to time? It's because they hated Christ. They hated you, or they will hate you, because they have hated me. And so what is that saying about the world system? The world system is hostile to biblical Christianity and to Jesus Christ. John chapter 12, verse 31 says, now judgment has come upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who is the ruler of the world? It is Satan. And again, I'm going to have you turn to one more verse. John chapter 17, verses 13 to 16. John chapter 17, verses 13 to 16. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that you may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So what do you have Christ saying there? He says, we as Christians are in the world, but we're not of it. And he is coming to give those who are his followers, those who have been chosen out of the world, his word. And the world has hated them. Why? Because we are not of the world. So as you look at the world, what do you see? It is not human beings per se, or the physical creation itself, that we are not supposed to love. It is rather the world system. with all of its beliefs, all of its opinions, all of its ideas, energized and controlled by Satan. Is there any question that the world around us is controlled and energized by Satan? And that we as children of God are to reject loving this world system. Of course we're supposed to love people, okay? And of course we're supposed to care about the world around us, the natural world, and try to treat it with the respect and with good stewardship that God would demand of us. As you look at the Believer's Bible Commentary, it says, human society, insofar as it is organized on wrong principles and characterized by base desires, false values, and egoism. That's a definition of the world system. False values, base desires, and egoism. Now, what are some examples of some of these beliefs, some of these ideologies, etc., that characterize this world system? I tried to think of a number of them, and I wrote them all down. And you may have your own list, and you can share it with me. It's probably better than the one I have. But have you ever heard of the expression, you only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can? And I think we all kind of know what they're referring to. It's a beer commercial. And it's obviously referring to a lot of things that go along with the consumption of beer. Then you have another beer commercial that says, and now it's Miller time. I'm not exactly sure when Miller time is. For a lot of people, Miller time is pretty much around the clock. But, you know, that's another philosophy of the world. It's a let's party. Having a party, having fun, that becomes the most important thing. Another particular view or another particular belief is my way or the highway. My way or the highway. And then we have a, I think it's Burger King that has this, but it says you can have it your way. And that's supposed to appeal to our sense of individuality. There's another worldview that says tolerance. Tolerance. And now the problem with that is they tolerate everybody but those who believe in biblical values and teaching. Then there's the worldview of pragmatism that says whatever works, that's what we need to do. Then there's a worldview that says, I'm okay, you're okay, and that's actually called transactional analysis, and it's a form of counseling. It's a worldview of counseling. And I had heard that the person that advanced this had killed himself, but it turns out that is not correct. He's very much alive, and is in fact suing the person that said he had killed himself. I found that out looking him up on the internet, but I'm okay, you're okay. The problem is that nobody's really okay left to ourselves, so that really doesn't work very well. Another worldview says, I can do what I want with my own body. And this has led to all kinds of sexual promiscuity, and has also led to one of the worldviews behind abortion. Other people say, well, you know, I'm a good person. You ever talk to people? I'm a good person. I know that we all want to believe that. It just doesn't happen to be true. The Bible says that all are sinners, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Others will say, we all worship the same God, you know, Pastor. It doesn't merely matter what religion you follow. We all worship the same God. And the answer to that, that's not really true. Because if you look at each religion, you're going to see that they hold dramatically different views about life and God and reality and salvation. And they worship different gods. And other people say, well, you know, it's okay as long as it's between consenting adults. And that could lead to all kinds of things. And other people say all life paths lead to God eventually. You know, there's many ways across the river, many different bridges you can take. And then there's a book out called Love Wins. Rob Bell, ever heard of that? I've probably shared it. Maybe some of you have read it. But basically means we're all going to be okay no matter what we do, how we live, basically, as long as we're sincere. And, you know, we could come up with many more. And you may have some of your own. And some of yours may be better than mine. But this is an example of some kinds of ideologies and beliefs that people hold. John is telling us here in John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, that as God's children, that we are not to love the world system. The system of beliefs, ideologies, etc., that are opposed to God and His Word. In this passage, we see three reasons why we are not to love the world system. So that's my introduction. Actually, the rest of the sermon is probably shorter than the introduction. First reason that we are not to love the world or the world system, because those who love the world do not love God. Again, verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2, it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's a pretty strong statement. In other words, if you love the world system with all the things that it believes, all the things that it holds to, then you really don't love God. The love of the Father is not in us. We must remember that God's kingdom and the world's kingdom or the world's system are not compatible. Biblical Christianity is not compatible with the world. They cannot ultimately coexist peacefully. That is why people become so irate with Christians, because I think, this is my opinion, deep in their heart they know they're wrong. Now they're going to suppress that truth in their own unrighteousness, and that's what Romans 1 happens to be talking about. But deep down they know they're wrong, and that's why they get so upset when Christians have an opportunity to express what they believe. Those who are truly Christian will not be characterized by a love for the world or the things of the world. People or unbelievers who are characterized by a love for the world will not have a love for the gospel, and they will not have a love for Jesus Christ or for the God of the Bible. Hence, the hostility we sometimes experience from them. We are different than the people of the world for the most part. I know we all pretty much wear the same clothes. We all have jobs. We all eat. We all do all kinds of other things that are pretty similar to one another. We all have homes that we live in. But we're different in the most important way, and that is that we're different spiritually speaking. We have different values. We have different priorities. We have different agendas than those who are in the world as unbelievers. John MacArthur puts it this way. He says, "Clearly, there is an unmistakable line of demarcation between the things of God and the things of the world. The ongoing moral and ethical deterioration of contemporary culture makes this obvious. Even a brief consideration provides a lengthy list of cultural agendas that are aggressively hostile to biblical Christianity. An attack on the traditional family by feminism, an active promotion of sexual promiscuity and homosexuality," boy, that's becoming worse all the time, "an increasing acceptance of violence, every time I turn on the internet, five more people have been shot," or something like that, "an emphasis on materialism and hedonism by the secular media, a steady decline in standards of right and wrong by postmodern relativism, and so on. As Christians, we don't belong to the world." Amen? We belong to God. We just read it a little while ago in John chapter 17. We are in the world, but we're not of it. While we may at times be tempted by the world's entertainment, by the world's riches, by the world's lusts, we are called to resist these temptations and to stay close to God. Those individuals who embrace the world system, who love the world system, are demonstrating by doing so that they are not children of God and that they do not actually love God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 talks about those who went out from us because they were not of us. Those for a while who are in the church who supposedly identified with the things of God but then later revealed what they really were by walking away. The love of the Father is not in those people. You know, we all have to make a choice in life. We cannot love two masters. We cannot love God and cannot love the world system at the same time. We must choose. Either we love God or we eventually embrace and love a satanically controlled world system. We can't have it both ways. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Make every effort to come to me." Now this is Paul writing to Timothy. "For Demas," anybody ever heard of Demas? "Having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." So we're looking at Demas and we're realizing that Demas was a person that started out active in the ministry with Paul, and then later, according to Paul, he loved this present world more than he loved the things of the gospel, and so he deserted the cause of Christ. So we must be sure that we are not a modern-day Demas or a Judas who appears to walk with the Lord, but attracted by the world, turn our backs and walk away. One writer named Gary Kah says this. He says, at this critical moment in history, as we enter the last of the last days, it is imperative that true Christians remain faithful and loyal to Jesus. We must take inventory of our lives, rooting out the sins of the world, not falling for the subtle deceptions of Satan. We must yield ourselves completely to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to do as Christians. We are not to love the world, nor the things of the world. Why? Because those who love the world or the world system do not love God. So if we love God, we're not going to fall into the trap of loving the world system. Number one. Number two, because also that which is of the world is not from God. We don't love the world or the things of the world because that which is of the world is not from God. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. As we look at this world, and as we think about the world system, we recognize that it is corrupted and dominated by sin. I mean, goodness sakes, look at Washington, for heaven's sakes. You know, Washington is now one of the richest cities in America. And part of that is because the government is taking more and more control of what's going on. So a lot of the wealth of the country is going to Washington and those bureaucrats that keep our social systems going. Every human being on planet Earth is a sinner. I know that we all understand that. Sin permeates and defiles every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our being. It defiles our minds, how we think and what we think about. It defiles our bodies. It defiles our emotions and how we feel. And also defiles our spirit, how we worship our God. All of this is corrupted and controlled by sin. And sin is called lawlessness. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it tells us this.